Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Remind of much sunshine in the last couple of days. Actually, there's a little bit out there today, thankfully. But one surefire sign that spring has sprung is the arrival of frog spawn in our ponds and our puddles even across the country. And for the normally humble frog, my next guest says the coming days will be like a raucous 3 days of singing and energetic procreation. Ecologist Donna Mullen is here. Hello, Donna.
Hi.
So it is the next few days, is it, that all of this is going to kick off?
Yes, exactly. And it's already started in some of the warmer counties, but I live up near Bailieborough and there's nothing happening there yet. But soon the male frogs will go into little drainage ditches and small ponds and they'll start singing. And the singing is just irresistible. It's as if, George Clooney suddenly sent us a message to go meet him immediately. We just drop everything and run. And so...
Can we hear this?
So, we can. And the females hear it from about 50 metres away and they just run to the ponds where the frogs
so
are.
Right, so it's instantly attractive for the females, the singing.
Absolutely.
And they all arrive together, do they?
They all arrive together and it's like, you'll just see, you have to be really careful, you know. Usually it's when it's raining and they run across roads and so you have to drive really carefully. If you see one frog, just slow down your car because there'll be loads more. You don't want to kill all the girls running to the singing. So when they get there then, it's just amazing. It's the singing, there's jumping around, and it's just for a couple of days. So I always say it's like a music festival. There's romance,
partying, dancing.
Yeah.
And is life normally like that for frogs? Like, is it an exciting life in general terms?
No, it's very boring. Normally they just live in grass. Where they eat slugs and insects, which is really why it's great to have them in your garden. They'll eat all the slugs for you. They eat earthworms as well. Normally it's a really boring life that they live. But it's like they cram all the excitement into this, 48 hours. And it definitely, like, it looks amazing. If there is reincarnation, I want to come back as a frog because this just looks incredible. So what happens is the females go to the little patch of water and then the males jump on top of them to fertilise the eggs as they're laying them. Now, the females are slippery. So the males have this little thing on their wrists called an nuptial pad and it's like Velcro and it sticks them to the back of the female.
To the slippy back of the female.
Yeah, the slippy back. So they have a thing like a little suction cup thing, because other than that, they just would slide off.
Mm-hmm.
Now, other males come along as well. And then there's wrestling goes on between, they're all trying to jump on the female.
OK, but if you have this male who's singing and all the females rush along, is there another male who'll say, oh, that fella has attracted all those females, so I'm going to try and muscle in?
Yes, exactly. And then there can be a bit like the Bridget Jones Diary kind of thing. The two males are fighting and wrestling. And the female in all of this, it's really why anyone putting in a pond for frogs, it should be shallow. The female can end up getting drowned under all this, all the males all fighting over. And then there's the males, actually the Irish Herpetological Association call them the pirate males. But I think they should be the pacifist males. They're the ones that look and say, I'm not going to fight here. This isn't worth the hassle. I could end up getting killed. So they steal the frog spawn. So they take the frog spawn and they fertilize.
The passive male.
Yeah. So they're usually like frogs that are small.
Okay.
And kind of a bit wimpy and they haven't a chance of getting on top of the female.
But sneaky.
So they take the frog spawn and then they fertilize it. Now, it'll mostly have been fertilized by the dominant male that's hanging on to the back of the female. But not all of it. And then so he has a chance of fertilising some of them.
Right. And the frog spawn, is that laid by the female in the same place where the party has happened?
Yes, exactly. And there'll be hundreds or thousands of frogs. You'll see them all, like, it's just an enormous puddle of frogs.
Mm-hmm.
It's just absolutely amazing.
So what happens then? Do they all stay around while the frog spawn is there?
So yeah, after a while they move out. So it's about a month is when all the mating takes place. And in fact, if anybody sees it, because it's always interesting to know how many frogs we have and what's going on, the Irish Peatland Conservation Council have a survey, the Hop To It Frog Survey. And you can log, if you find frog spawn, log it with them so they know the numbers that are there. But yeah, the frogs then move back out, and basically the frog spawn has to fend for itself. It's insulated, and that's why it's in big clumps.
So in the jelly,
yeah. And then they can actually eat the jelly as well. But the insulation, because it's in the big clumps, it said it can raise the temperature up to about 10 degrees. Mm. So even if there's a bit of frost, the frog spawn will probably survive.
But there's nobody there to mind the tadpoles when they emerge.
No. And most of them get eaten or die, or most, they say, you know, there's, you know, 2,000 to 4,000 eggs being laid by the frog, the female frog. But maybe 1% or 2% of them survive.
OK.
Very few survive.
Now, we used to bring the frog. You're not allowed to do this anymore, so don't do it. But many, many years ago, we used to bring the frog spawn home to try and grow frogs. And successfully, they would emerge, much to the delight of my parents. They'd have the legs, the back legs and the front legs, and they'd lose the tail, and you have your own frog. Yeah. Very useful thing to have.
Yeah. And teachers are still allowed to collect frog spawn for the nature table under a derogation licence from the MPWS. But the rest of us aren't.
To leave it alone.
But actually, if you want to get your own frog spawn and frogs, the easy thing is to just put in a pond. Put in those little trays that go under your bed, you know, for keeping your shoes together, or the plastic trays for putting kids' toys in.
A plastic box?
A plastic box, yeah.
So dig it down into the garden.
And shallow, you know, not very deep. Mm-hmm. And shallow. And the frogs will just come to it. Now, if you have them in your garden, and the Peatland Conservation Society there, they found that garden ponds were a really important thing for preserving frogs. So, but if you're looking at your frogs and your tadpoles and they're starting to go white, it means that they're getting to be albino, and it means that there's inbreeding. So they need to meet other frogs. So you need to make a little frog pathway for them to get in and out of your garden.
How are our frog numbers in general? Because you do hear people saying, I saw a frog, and then somebody else will say, oh, that was just a toad.
Yeah.
Are we more likely to see frogs or toads?
Oh, we're more likely to see frogs. There's only one species of toad here, the natterjack toad. Mm-hmm. And it's very, very rare. It's just in Kerry and it's in Waterville, it's in Dingle, and there's some in Wexford. But frogs can look very different. So you can have tiny little green ones, and the females are bigger. I had an enormous big brown one sitting out on my in my front garden, and you just can't believe they're all the same species. But the way you know they're frogs rather than toads, you know, Amy Winehouse used to have that black eye shadow round her eyes, yeah, and going back to her. Frogs have that. So they have
a eyeliner.
Black patch, like eyeliner. And they have black bars on their legs,
right,
as well.
And the toads are more like Pamela Anderson, no makeup.
No makeup. And they're also a little warty.
Okay.
So you're very lucky if you have toads.
The parties are underway. We're getting messages in from people. This person was walking in Devil's Glen in County Wicklow this morning, and they saw about 30 frogs, and the ponds were bubbling and hopping, and you could hear the male singing.
Oh, fantastic.
It's happening. Spotted lots of frog spawn up at the 12 o'clock hills in County Clare. So the frog spawn is already there in some parts of the country.
That is brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
You haven't got it in Ballybury yet, but
not
it's on the way.
But we're a bit higher up, so it's a bit colder.
And another person has a pond at home and has lots of frog spawn already. So the pond is worth looking into if you want to attract these guys.
Definitely is. And anything will do as a pond. Mm-hmm. Like, it is really right. And Ireland is one of the last places left where frogs are abundant. Right across Europe, they're being classed as vulnerable. So vulnerable means that they'll go extinct if nothing is done to protect them. And Ireland, they've been classed as least concern, which means that they're doing very well.
Right.
But their habitat has, the MPWS are worried that their habitat isn't so good. So the fact that we're losing the habitat, it's only a matter of time before we lose the frogs.
Mm-hmm. And what do they need then in terms of the habitat? I mean, you've described a fairly simple pond that you could make, but the water has to be a certain temperature, does it not?
Obviously, it's a balancing act, because you don't want it drying out. Mm-hmm. And that's the problem with shallow ponds, that they do dry out. If it is a garden pond, you need to keep it tapped up. And then they need long grass, because most of the year they live in, they're actually called grass frogs in some places. They live in the grass, and they eat a lot of insects. So they need kind of a little bit of everything. But it's this time of year that you'll really notice them, because, you know, they're having all the fun.
So will they stay around then? If the frog spawn is in the pond, turns into tadpoles, the mammy and daddy have had the party, they're probably gone off to wherever they came from. But those frogs that were born in that pond, do they stick around there for their life?
Yeah, they will stick around. Now, some of them will, you know, move different places, particularly if there's a connecting waterway, they'll move along it. And I had a friend who had a pond in Santry, and he was saying, I have a pond and this frog spawn and I never see frogs. And one day I was running a stand for the Irish Wildlife Trust, and this woman came down to me and she said, I don't know. I have no water. My garden is full of frogs. I can't understand it. I said, where do you live? And she said, Santry. And she was just three doors away from my other friend's house. So I didn't know whether to throw him under the bus and say, I know where they're coming from. But she had his frogs. Yeah.
So what is threatening them? You mentioned, you know, their habitat is considered to be under threat.
Yes.
But also there's a couple of diseases around, aren't they, that they don't like that are impacting them?
There is. And right across Europe, it's been impacting them. There's a fungal disease that has been wiping off frogs throughout the world, mm-hmm. frogs and salamanders and things like that. And it's really bad. And now there's a new virus as well coming as well. But they haven't really reached Ireland. There hasn't been much shown. Again, the Herpetological Society has been sending off whenever they found about 300 dead frogs in Kildare a couple of years ago. And they thought, oh no, now this is it. It's hit. And they sent it off. But it turned out it was an escaped pet ferret had gotten in
and killed them.
Yeah. So in a way, that was a relief. That was kind of a...
So you like ferrets. But when I hear that, I mean, that's just killing for the sake of it, right? Because it wasn't eating them.
Yeah, well, I suppose, you know, I always think it's like if you left me in a chocolate shop overnight. It's, you know, it's just they just go mad. So they don't know they're going to get fed tomorrow, and they're going to mm-hmm. and there's all this amazing food and it's all jumping around. And, you know, it's not the animal's fault.
The ferret probably ate three.
Yes.
And left 300 for dead.
Yes. Yeah. And, you know.
Not nice, Donna.
No, it's not nice. No, it's not nice. But I suppose if, you know, it's a bit like whatever, you know, foxes in chicken coops. If you left them alone and you can go back and get hysterical, they would take away all your dead animals and they'd store them, stash them somewhere, you know. Mm-hmm. But you know, we usually come across
the devastation.
She
won't have a bad word said about the ferrets, you see. And
no,
I know,
or
and
any
I know
animal,
this from
really.
Past experience.
Any animal.
Somebody is telling us that people need to be really careful cutting grass, particularly at this time of the year. And you mentioned they do like to live in the long grass when they're not having their party.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And there's a few other things as well that can affect them. You know, salting of roads, if that salt gets into water systems, it changes the sex of the frog. And things like fertilizer, if that gets on a frog as well, that can damage its skin. So like there's quite a lot of things with climate change as well.
That can impact them.
Yeah. All
right. Well, listen, people look out for frogs. Now is the time, as we've been hearing from our listeners. Donna, thank you so much. Always great to see you. Thank you for coming in. That's Donna Mullen, who's an ecologist.